Thank you, Sam, and thank each one of you who chose to come and participate in this activity, which is not only a part of the Christian training series, but also to some extent under the aegis of Friends of the Restoration. And that group meets. It's a rather informal organization, but at lectureship on this and several other campuses. And there are a lot of common and overlapping interests here, but it certainly is an honor to be on the program of both CTS and Friends of the Restoration. It's a privilege to talk about a deceased friend and colleague and his wife and their legacy. Former President Dr. E. Claude Gardner and others present in this room, like Ben Flatt, remember and certainly could have talked about the Brumleys. I considered inviting some stories from the floor, but I was cautioned that there are so many memories and so many stories that might present a challenge. In addition to what I know from having been a fellow faculty member and an administrator and having interviewed Brad during one of his last visits to Henderson, I have talked recently with Dr. Gardner, Dr. Sewell, Dr. Hester, Dr. B.J. Naylor, and Sister Flodine Powell, the widow of Jimmy Powell and mother of Spring McCutcheon, who knew Brad's parents and siblings in Mississippi. Wade Osborne, our library director, has been helpful, as of course have in these days Google and other websites. Several years ago, I interviewed by phone the Brumley's daughter, Susan Brumley, Naylor, Toombs, Wooten now, who has a doctorate in education. I had hoped she would actually attend the session today, but I was not able to get directly in touch with her. Our former colleague of hers at East Arkansas Community College in Forest City was going to try to extend that invitation on my behalf. Susan was on the faculty there until last fall. Some of you have already told me this week things that you learned about the church and about teaching and even about yourself from the Brumleys. The legacy of Brad Brumley begins at least with his father, Ben Allen Brumley Sr., and his mother. I wish I knew more about Brad's grandparents, who must have encouraged his interest in the Bible and in learning. When Brad's father was a young man, he began teaching in the public schools of Mississippi on a certificate obtained by taking the state teacher's examination. Not content to teach with only a high school diploma, in the fall of 1906, Ben Allen took leave from his teaching and entered Georgie Robertson Christian College, which was across the street, of course, from the Brown Copel building on the northwest corner of Main and White. It turned out that GRC closed at the end of that first year in 1907, and Brad's dad returned to Mississippi to teach another year in the little country school where he had been, and then came back to Henderson in 1908 to attend the first year of National Teachers Normal and Business College. And if time permitted, I'd tell you something about how all that figures into the analysis of the history and continuity of Friedarderman and its predecessors. Ben Allen Brumley Sr. taught and served as principal in several Mississippi schools, and finally earned his B.S. degree from Mississippi State University when he was well into his 50s. He and his wife parented seven children through the depths of the Great Depression. His first grandchild gave them the designations Big Dad and Big Mother, which they carried the rest of their lives. Big Dad was an elder for half a century. Brad wrote, Big Dad's insatiable appetite for knowledge never waned. His wonder about God's great universe and the many discoveries of science were sources of excitement and thrills right up until his death at age 84. His last church activity was, of all things, attending a series of lectures on the minor prophets. I was the speaker, and as I was speaking, I saw him flipping through his Bible in an effort to follow my references to various scriptures. Brad wrote a tribute to his father in 1987, and in the 1990 Fried Arteman lectures, he enumerated six lessons I learned from my father, Ben Allen Brumley, Sr. I know my assignment is to talk about Brad rather than his father, but I think these articles give insight into Brad, who deserved and commanded respect because, among other things, he had this long connection here, and he showed respect to his father as he did to Dr. Gardner and to others. Brad, as we know him, was born R.V. Brandon Brumley on August 3rd, 1917 in Prentice County, Mississippi. Many of us knew his brother Ben, who was an elder of the downtown church in Columbus, Mississippi, and his sisters Mary Nell Chalk and Dewdrop Rowlett, who played women's basketball at Fried Arteman and were brought back to the campus by Dr. Gardner to reinstitute women's basketball and to serve as coaches. Their pictures are in the Sports Center Hall of Fame room. And I think by the end of our thinking together about this, you may think that Brad perhaps belongs in the School of Education Hall of Fame array. Brad was a member of the Fried Arteman class of 1936. He continued his education at Murray State, Mississippi Southern, and Hattiesburg, and finally as a teaching fellow at Harding. He married Betty Clopton, whose father and brother were physicians in Arkansas. Betty had attended Murray State from 1937 to 39. During World War II, Brad was a pilot and then an instructor in instrument flying. When pilots in training were challenged to distinguish between enemy and friendly planes, they complained that the images that were going across the screen were moving too rapidly to identify. And so Brad substituted images of Marilyn Monroe, which they all admitted they could identify with a glimpse. And Brad was a great believer in visual technology. Brad preached his first sermon at Coeur d'Alene, Idaho in 1945, probably while in the U.S. Army. Brad taught for 6 years in Mississippi public schools. He later preached in Marmaduke, Arkansas from 1953 to 55 and in Rector, Arkansas from 56 to 61. Betty earned her bachelor's and master's degrees from Harding in 1957. After moving to Henderson, Brad preached on weekends at Oak Grove and in Benton, Kentucky. In 1963, he became the minister at Estes, and after his career at Fried Arteman, he preached at the 7th Street Church in Columbus, Mississippi, at Citronelle, Alabama, and some back in Idaho and in Arkansas and other places. He had broad interests. He wrote on church leadership, including publishing a book on the work of elders, education ministers, Bible teachers. So the title that Sam furnished of big ideas and big accomplishments is, I think, excellent, and I appreciated Sam's doing that. Brad was probably not a big businessman on the scale of the Haslams of Pilot and Flying J fame, but he was a wholesale oil distributor, and he used his earnings from the oil business for church and college and charity, among other things. And as a matter of fact, had a service station here in Henderson, which many of us relied upon, not just for fuel, but for excellent service rendered by Lee Grantham and others. Brad had big dreams for the church and big accomplishments. He and Betty, I think, are best remembered for their work in religious education. But his interests and invitations were much broader. He spoke in 1959 on the Ohio Valley College lectures. Harding and Searcy, as early as 1961, invited Brad to speak at their lectureship on seeking the lost through mass communication. He was also invited to lecture at Abilene, Pepperdine, and other Christian colleges and universities from the Northwest to the Southeast, and to write articles on a variety of topics. Wade Osborne yesterday printed me a list of 40 articles over a period of several years. The last one, it was entitled Road to Improved Learning, and it appeared in the Christian Bible Teacher in 1998. He and Betty taught education and psychology, as well as Bible school related, specifically Bible school related courses. David Wade told me yesterday that he studied psychology under Betty and learn things about himself, as many, many people did. And because I shared an office building with them for some time, I know that Betty did a lot of counseling and no little preaching to the young men and women who came into that building. Brad conducted more than 200 Bible teachers' workshops. He and Betty often took with them others, such as Miss Laura Laycook. They were returning from a workshop in Augusta, Georgia in 1964 with a student, Shirley Mazzaroni, who had gone along to assist. Brad had a reputation for sometimes driving furiously, and that came to the mind of a lot of people. I was at Illinois in school when all this took place. But people, I think, wondered, you know, if Brad had somehow caused this event. But the account says that Betty died of injuries received about an hour earlier when the car she was driving collided with a truck on a rain-slicked Highway 76 near Corinth. Some of you know the spot in which that accident occurred. I remember one time hydroplaning on the 45 bypass near State Street and the railroad crossing in Jackson on the way to preach at Benton, Kentucky one Sunday morning. A new rain made the road slick, so I'm not questioning the circumstances. But after the death of Betty an extended period of recovery. Some would question whether Brad ever fully recovered from the injuries of that accident. But he and Shirley were married, and they continued to conduct Bible teacher workshops. Brad had big dreams for the church, the people, and the facilities and equipment and programs of the church. He promoted all kinds of worship and educational and outreach efforts. He served as an educational advisor and consultant or minister for several churches in different states. As I recall, he worked with the church in Humboldt, the Slicer Street Church in Kennett, Missouri, and perhaps the Estes Church even before he became their minister from 1967 to 1972. In 77, he published a handbook for the education minister. He was asked to speak on Christian college lectureships and to write on building and equipping educational facilities. And he published a book on planning the educational building. He helped plan and promote new facilities and equipment at Estes. And deserves a lot of credit for things that developed in different ways and places, but had their origin and their impetus from his contribution and involvements in it. There was a large youth rally, like maybe some of us would associate now with the church in Savannah, some other things in this area, that began at Estes and eventually, after Brad moved to Columbus, Mississippi, we used to take busloads of teenagers from Henderson and Estes and probably from churches as far away as Kentucky and certainly a lot of places in Tennessee, sent young people to Columbus, Mississippi, to those programs that Brad and his brother promoted. Before there was a bus at Estes, I remember Betty driving around Henderson on weekends and identifying and inviting children to come to Bible class at Estes. And the Brumleys would go by and provide transportation or arrange for someone else to pick up and bring these people to Bible school. Sometimes they bought clothes, or they found used or bought new clothes for the children to encourage them to come to Sunday school. When money was needed, one of the Estes leaders told me that Brad and the Clopton family donated or loaned money to the church on several occasions to buy a bus or to carry out some building project. There were other things that I think indicate the range of his commitments and his interests. Brad and Betty helped begin a program of monthly visits to Western State Mental Health Institute in Bolivar. These were usually once a month on a Tuesday night. They involved adults as well as some young people. They would take sandwiches and desserts, and they would have entertainment and the Bible lessons. And this went on maybe for more than 30 years after they were long gone. But Estes received numerous commendations from the state of Tennessee and from the Department of Mental Health. Sherry showed me a a certificate that her husband had. And I know from B.J. Naylor that this was a ongoing, active thing. Many people did something like this sometimes, but nobody for 30 or 40 years went every week and provided this kind of support at Bolivar. I'm not sure whether Brad had big plans for his family, big dreams, but I would say it was a big activity and accomplishment. Brad and Betty had one daughter of their own. The earliest note that I saw said they had two other daughters, May and Faye Brumley of Henderson. A later account, maybe at the time of his death, said they had three, Teresa Green, Marky Bennett, who I understand still lives at Bethel Springs, Marie Golden, she and her husband Frank are still active in the church in Columbus, Mississippi. But I'm not sure how many foster children they had and how many of these foster children were adopted. But I think there wasn't much distinction, you know. They took, when they found people that were in need, they took them into their home, and they might be there as a foster child or they might adopt them. They treated them generously, and I think it's one of the remarkable and noteworthy things about their life. That's not to talk about his work at Fried Artiman up to this point very much. He was chairman of the Department of Education and Psychology. He was highly regarded. Ben Flatt was one of his star students of theirs. Ben was involved in the state and national student education association. And he became the dean of students. Later called the vice president for student affairs. I still remember vividly a trip that Dr. Gardner sent us on, or permitted us to go on, in which, as I recall, there were five vice presidents traveling in Brad Brumley's car, which was questioned by a lot of people. But we went as far as Harrisonburg, Virginia, to Eastern Mennonite College, and we visited a number of campuses looking at their administrative computer systems, the hardware and software, and interviewing the people and talking about their satisfaction and what problems they had encountered, and then brought that information back and made use of it in making some decisions about what we now call IT in its early days at Fried-Hartman. Most of you know that Brad is credited with initiating the Christian Training Series. He made that proposal to President Gardner, and it was approved. And so this program is a part of his legacy. But to show the range of his interests, he is also credited with helping to bring making music into being. And so his interest in student life, student activities, covered a wide range. I know he was concerned about, we were talking about technology and telephones in the dormitory. He was an advocate for having more phones on more floors in the dormitory before these days in which everybody has a personal mobile phone. But Brad Brumley, I think, deserves whatever recognition and commendation and celebration we can give to a man who had big dreams and who was successful in accomplishing many of those dreams, bringing them into reality, and setting an example that was imitated by many churches which begin to have rooms for the preparation of audiovisual materials and buses and education facilities and a number of things that they, if they did not invent, they certainly promoted and publicized. And in very detailed kinds of ways, number one, demonstrated, and number two, publicized with things like detailed manuals about how you prepare and use the overhead projector in preaching or teaching or whatever. So those are some of the things about the legacy of Brad Brumley. And I think he belongs in the Hall of Fame. Thank you very much.
All right, let's take some questions, observations.
What year did the Christian Training Series begin?
What was the question?
What year did he begin?
1973, I think. Isn't that right? 1973.
The what?
When the CTS began.
I guess that's right.
So this is the 40th year. Bob.
Isn't it true that Brother Brumley had a laundromat and business in laundry?
I think that's right. And do you know, I've been working off and on the history of Fried Artem and his predecessors now for quite some time. And A.G. Fried and N.B. Hardeman, in about 1908, bought in Henderson on Front Street a laundry. the best I could recall from the old catalogs and things, a lot of the students stayed in people's homes, and the host families washed their clothes. But they actually owned the predecessor to the laundromat. If I remember, there's a deed in 1908. It was one of my interesting discoveries. But I appreciate you bringing that up. That was another thing that he did. That was a convenience and represented something that other people hadn't thought of or might not have ever thought of.
If I'm not mistaken, he actually owned the washing and washers and dryers within the dormitories.
Oh, I think that's right. He got them into the dormitories. And again, he used his resources and that of his in-laws to do just a variety of things that didn't get a lot of public notice, but they were important to the people who benefited from them.
The station that he had, Dr. Thomas mentioned, down this way on 100, about two blocks from here, had a master mechanic, Lee Grantham, and such a good Christian gentleman. He's worked for many of us, but he ran the operation of the nuts and bolts of that service station and mechanic shop. And then
the laundromat.
Next to that, a laundromat. But in addition to that, you know, Brad had that oil leadership.
Brad was a great inspiration to those who were preparing to teach. I had a great influence. I started out in teaching before switching to ministry, and I remember in 61, 62, he drove the old yellow bus, what we call it, 10 Lizzie, something like that, all the way to Cookeville, Tennessee. His nephew, John Allen Chalk, was the local preacher there in the congregation. Dr. Dearberry, member of the church, was head
President.
Of university at that particular time. And all of us SNA students were loaded on that bus and went over there, and he arranged housing for all of us and had a great weekend and good exposure to a lot of educational opportunities while over there. And he was the one up front driving. Kelly B. Doyle would do that too. Later in chorus, he'd take us all over the country and he'd be the one up there driving and then have to get up and lead all of us and at our program. And Brad Brumley was the hands-on type of person like that.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of little color questions. Do you think his driving a plane had to do something with driving furiously a car?
I don't know.
He wasn't the only one that could drive like that. I remember one day riding with her. I think we were going to Baltimore, one of those things. Going out Highway 100, you know, it's up and down. And I looked, she slowed down to 75 to take her photo. That was big. I did not believe in guardian angels when I was with her.
Now, another little trivia question. Why was his throat or voice raspy? He would talk like that toward the end of his life. Anyone? Did he strain his voice or?
Well, in knowing him in Citra now, he had told us that he had had some damage to that area.
Okay, in the wreck. All right. There's a good response.
But he was high-pitched even before the wreck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't have a picture to show us?
Say it again, Bill.
Do you have a picture to show us of Brad Brumley? A picture?
I've got one. Do you have one with you?
I don't know that I have one with me. I may. I don't.
He had a burr haircut.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Flat top. Which order is that?
I've got one where he's, this is a yearbook picture, and he's dressed up, and he's pointing out like this. Like he's, I'll get that and share that with you.
Let me say just a few words.
Surely.
I really appreciated David's speech. I was sure he'd do a good, thorough job because he always did. And anything he did. I always used to say that if I wanted to know anything about anything in education, I could ask David about it and he'd know something about it. Be able to help me with that. I think about several things about Brad and his ancestry. I remember I've forgotten what year it was, that I encouraged and had a meeting of all of those former students. Those early years, and Brother Brumley, the father, was one of them. School year, and that I guess you would say is the beginning of the 50-year class reunion. It just kept on, but that was way back there when I started that. I became a teacher here in '49, and incidentally, I'm the last teacher living that Brother Hardeman ever hired. And so from 49, I became teacher and head of the education and psychology department. I became dean of the college, the second in command, 1956. So I said, I determined then that I didn't need to be the chairman of the education and psychology department, and we need to get another man. But now, those days, you didn't post jobs. If you knew somebody that would fit the job, then you could bring them in. And I knew Brad because he was preaching and had preached at Marmaduke, my hometown, Marmaduke, Arkansas. And I knew the Clopton family. In fact, Dr. Clopton was our family doctor, Dr. Clopton Sr. And that is son, Dr. Clopton over in Jonesboro. He's retired now. So I knew Brad, and suddenly without him, and wasn't any reason why we needed to do a lot of checking and everything. So we brought him here as the head of the education and psychology department. Now, to say something about Brad, several things that come to my mind. He was very creative. He thought of different things to do. He was creative. And he was independent. In fact, a lot of things that I knew that he would do, I didn't have to follow after him to see that they were done. He was careful along that line. Obviously, he was a hard worker. He couldn't do as many things as he did without putting so much time and effort in it. He was above average as a hard worker. Now, it is interesting to see that all of the businesses that he had operated, all business in Rector, Arkansas, and his station here in Henderson, and his 200 workshops across the land. You see, we had the understanding that every faculty member, number one, he was supposed to be living in Henderson, and number two, he's supposed to be full-time. Well, here Brad carried on a business and did a lot of outside work, and he sort of broke that rule for us, and others, I think, came along and did the same thing. But he did a lot of things with the students. And I wanted him then, because of his experience and interest, become dean of students, which he served. Now, I would say this, that there are some students that were probably not very pleased with all of that. They call him Big Bad Brumley. Big Bad Brad. But he was able to work with the students and promoted a lot of student interest and activities. And you can see why I would want to keep him on here. He was always very supportive of me. Any work that I was doing, any effort, program that I was promoting, I could count on Brad and being behind it, being for it, and supporting everything I did. I think that you're right, David. His name ought to be up there in the Hall of Fame. I hope that those in the education department will be thinking about getting his name up there and picture up there, and maybe also Betty too. In the Hall of Fame, they're deserving as well as all of those. I know several up there that I don't know. I appreciate the fact that they have been so honored. Well, I guess that's enough for me to say, and I just want to say thank you, David, for the good job that you've done, and I hope that you will put that in writing for publication.
Any other final questions? Well, we've had a good full session, don't you think?
Let me ask you, Sam, these people may all know what you told me a few minutes ago about the availability of these programs online. But if not, why, I think everyone should.
All right. Yes, we've been doing this about 3 years now. And what we'll do is we'll upload these to MP3 status and put it on files under CTS. If you'll go to the Fried Hartman website and go to the back of it, or go to CTS, go to the back of it where the lectureship things are, then look under CTS for 2013 and look down the titles till you get to yours.
Well, to any of these that have been recorded this week.
That's right. And those will be put on there, and you can download them anytime.
They're real good exercise by them.
Yeah, you can walk by them and listen to
That's
them.
That's what Sam does. With his exercises, he'll listen.
I told him that in chapel today while you were setting up this class. She and I worked on these tables last night, and doctor told her they continued, do not pick up anything more than a cup to your lips. So guess who picks up most of this? I've been helping her even this morning to finish this up. Thank you very much for coming. Thank you, Dr. Thomas, for an excellent job. Let's show our appreciation to Dr. Thomas.